It is our Monday morning football analysis from the painstaking games yesterday for Packer fans and Viking fans. Gray is in here. Gray, I expressed some of my emotions earlier. Not fully. I was kind of waiting to have someone's ear fully tilted my way before I went off. But as a Packer fan, general analysis and thoughts after the game. I know it ended up not meaning anything. You're going to be the seventh seed anyway.
Yep.
But you like to play well and have a good game going into the playoffs. That wasn't really the case yesterday.
No, I will say that I'm not beating myself up about it. Like, yeah, we would have enjoyed a victory, but I'm not beating myself up about it the way I might have. Honestly, the main thing that bothers me about yesterday's game is that Christian Watson, I think he's out for the season. We took the gamble of playing starters, and I think in general, that's the right call. I'll go on record as saying I am a player starters guy, even for just a couple series.
Well, and especially when you consider that getting the sixth seed was, there was value to that.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Going to Philly or going to Tampa is two completely different game. So I'm all in with you. The Packers had to try to win that game, and the Washington basically won their game like 20 seconds after the Packers game was over. So that's all legit. Yeah. Well,
and I would have, I'll take it one step further, Joel. I'll clarify. Even if the seeding wouldn't have changed had we won, I would say that the starters should have at least played a couple series, because I've seen too many times the Patriots come to mind. They didn't do it very often, I don't think, but every once in a while they'd lock up their division early. And other teams have done the same thing, and I think it comes down to how you coach when that happens, or maybe it's just a fluke, but too many times have I seen players absolutely stink it up after a bye week or after a sat week. So watch the one seeds, watch people who look rusty. You know, your Lions and your Chiefs, you know, your bye week teams in the first week they play in the playoffs. There'll be some players who I think are worse than they would have been. But that said, it's that versus injuries. So you've got a gamble, and it comes down, I think, to coaching.
Yeah, Packers got a receiver problem. They do. They got a.
We thought we had no problems. We thought we had so many number ones going in that we didn't even have to pick one. And then, I mean, Jaden Reed started the season strong, and then he absolutely disappeared in, like, game 12, and we haven't seen him since. Christian Watson, too injured to play. Dontavian Wicks has dropped more than half the balls that we've thrown to him. Really? Don't look it up. You'll be sad. So, yeah, I completely agree. But Bo Melton and Malik Heath are number 4 and 5 receivers, respectively. They look like they're able to step up and replace Dontavian Wicks. So you get Christian Watson healthy, you get Jaden Reed right in the head, and I think we can compete. But still, that should have been done by now. That's what we were going to use this year to do.
But one or two of the receivers will have to step forward in the playoffs, because the teams are going to ride them hard. They're going to, if they don't play man-to-man, they're going to bump them. They're going to do everything they can, and they're going to say, you need to prove to us defensively that you can beat us one-on-one. And if you can't do that, then the other team can commit more people to the pass rush, and it's just a recipe for disaster.
I don't see that happening in receivers, Joel. My pick is tight ends. We've got Tucker Kraft, who's Christian Watson is our man coverage beater, and teams have been showing us more man coverage lately because they've realized that we don't have the guys to beat it. We've got Dontavian Wicks, who has one of the best separation rates in the league. He can get a step on almost anybody, and then he'll drop you the ball, so it's worthless. So we've got to figure out who can create a matchup issue, and look no further than Tucker Kraft and, just back from injured reserve, Luke Musgrave, 85 and 88. Both of them are over 6 feet tall and 235 pounds. We need matchup issues, and nobody's fast enough, so give it to the big guys.
Run the ball and throw it 5 yards to the tight end, and then play some good defense, and hopefully you can hit a field goal at the buzzer to win it.
Get ready for a lot of play action, a lot of tight end leak, a lot of penalties on a lot of offensive pass interference penalties, because they're going to be doing some crafty things, and it's going to end up in some sloppy football that turns into an OPI, but hopefully it turns into a victory too. I'd love to go in there, and I'd love to hear the silence after the Eagles lose. Can you imagine that, like, yeah, these Packers are out of sorts, the Eagles are hot, Saquon's an MVP candidate, and then, oh, 2010, we were a wild card candidate, looking ugly, looking bad, and then some defenders stepped up, some good QB play, keep consistent with that. So the best version of Jordan Love, So yeah, there's a lot of coping that could be done, but I'm not as upset as I could be.
Viking fans will be Packer fans on Sunday. We want you guys to beat Philly. We want you to knock them out, because it's a good chance if the Vikings win, then they would have to go to Philly. So Viking fans don't want that. Look at this. I was just looking at this a little bit ago. The seven quarterbacks that are in the playoffs in the NFC. You got Jordan Love. You got Jalen Hurts of Philadelphia. You've got McDaniels guy. McDaniels, is that right? Daniels or McDaniels?
Where are we looking?
Washington.
Washington. Oh, yeah, Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels. Tampa Bay, you got Baker Mayfield. Vikings, you got Sam Darnold. The Rams, you got Matthew Stafford. And then you got Jared Goff of the Lions. So those seven quarterbacks, who are the bottom two? Give me the bottom two right now of those seven.
Of the seven NFC playoff quarterbacks, yeah. Bottom two?
The bottom two. Who would you put as the bottom two of those seven?
I mean, like, overall and right now have very different answers, because normally Baker Mayfield would be near the bottom of that list for me, but he's been red hot. So yeah. Right now I'm going to put him kind of near the top. So right now, I mean, there's no way around it. Jordan Love is one of the bottom two in the playoffs. Stafford, maybe?
Or Darnold. I mean, the way Darnold played yesterday.
That was the guy who used to see ghosts back when he was a Jet. That was some bad Darnold.
Oh, that was some bad Darnold.
And I don't want to call you out, Joel, but I think you guys were a lot more than a more oriented Darnold away from a victory yesterday. Those Lions were mean. Defense or not, and I maintain, you're right, they're very injured, but they just got Alex Anzalone back, and that guy was captaining a mean ship. And Aaron Glenn, their defensive coordinator, his knees are fine.
Well, the red zone defense was obviously pretty good for the Lions. They forced Darnold to make a couple of tough throws. Darnold missed one wide open one, obviously. That was an obvious one. But there was another one over the middle that was not a hard throw.
Nope.
It was just kind of a little bit of a high throw, and he sailed it. So there was 11 points, because I think they got a field goal out of one of those. There was 11 points. And then the Van Ginkle drop of that pick six, that was just elementary stuff right there. And I'm not saying that he's going to go to the house, because there was a guy right behind him. But there was less than a handful of plays that would have made that somebody has the ball at the end to try to win it.
Yes.
It wasn't a 31-9 game. It was a really tight, close game with Sam Darnold just not being – he was totally the quarterback – that everybody thought he was going to be in that game yesterday.
Yep,
that's who he was.
It was proven yesterday that you can still get in Sam Darnold's head. And just like the announcers were saying last night when he airballed that touchdown in the back right corner over, I don't remember whose head it was, but when he misses high. And if you get into his head, he'll start missing. So if you can rattle him as a defense, I think you cause him to miss, you cause him to create some turnovers, and then you got him rattled more. So I think we saw the blueprint for how to beat Sam Darnold last night, and O'Connell's got to figure out how to stop that from happening again next week.
Yeah, the Packers are 4.5-point underdogs, which is 4, 4.5, depending on where you look, which is about right.
Yes, please.
And like I said this morning, I would not surprise all seven teams right now that are in the playoffs in the NFC, every single one of them would not surprise me if they were in the Super Bowl. The way that Mayfield is playing, the way that Daniels is playing, the experience of Stafford, the Packers' line is good enough, the Vikings have shown they're good enough, obviously the Eagles and Lions, any of them end up in the Super Bowl, I'm not surprised. Nothing.
No, not. My pick, I'm going Lions, NFC team in the Lions. And then as far as the AFC, you touched on it this morning. You mentioned that the Chiefs and the Bills are up there. I'm going to throw in the Ravens there, too. Maybe less because I believe they truly are there. You know, their Madden overall team rating might be a couple points lower. But we're well within any given Sunday range to say Baltimore, especially with Lamar Jackson playing at the level he's had, protecting the football and still running like he did his rookie season almost. We have never seen a season like Lamar just put together and completed as of yesterday. Never. If you look at his stats, he both protected the ball almost as well as Aaron Rodgers ever did, while still running it better than Michael Vick ever did. And yeah, it's so under the radar that I think people will only realize how well Lamar Jackson's got things figured out when there he is at the top of the podium in February. I think he has every right to expect a victory in the Super Bowl this year, as does Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes.
He's probably going to get his third MVP this year.
I agree.
Like,
I completely agree. And for me, Mahomes, basically, like, the Chiefs have found their way to this one seed through a Plinko machine. Close victories and point differential and turnover margin. Like, they broke every rule. So I'm waiting for that.
Plinko machine. I love that.
Yeah, that doesn't often actually result in victories. The wins of chance, that's a bunch of losing. The Winds of Chance are where Detroit was for the last 20 years, where the Browns have been for the last 30. That's what the Winds of Chance do. You don't go 16-1 by fluke. So, like, And on one side of the coin, that means there's no way they are a fluke. But on the other side, I think they are, and it can't continue. But here we are in the postseason.
Yeah, when Patrick Mahomes is out there, he just seems like for some reason it gets to the fourth quarter and the team is in it. No matter what happened the first three, they're always there, and they got a shot to win it. And when Patrick Mahomes has the ball in his hands and a chance to tie or take the lead, it's going to happen more often than not in his favor.
He elevates the team. That's what Patrick Mahomes does, is what coaches mean when they say a player elevates the team. Because even when he's not playing his best, players play better when Mahomes is on the field. Yeah. It's pretty impressive to watch.
So last night's game, just to give you an idea, there's different levels of pain when you're a football fan, obviously. And I think that pain is lessened just a little bit when your team has already won a Super Bowl. And I know the Bears won it like 40 years ago or whatever, 1986. And the Packers, it's been a while, but they have theirs. And the Viking fans last night had the thought process of, oh, this is the guy that's going to take us down this year. You know, we had our Gary Anderson, we had the Favre interception, we had the Drew Pearson catch back in the 70s. So Viking fans in the back of their minds, and hopefully Kevin O'Connell doesn't have a history with the team for Viking fans to think this way, but Viking fans are thinking, oh, Sam Darnold's going to be the guy who's going to end it for us this
year.
Yeah,
and that's just what I'm thinking of, is Sam Darnold is going to be, you know, you get that one poster person. You know, hopefully it's your QB playing well who is kind of your champion going in. Well, right now for the Vikings, their champion going into the postseason is a QB not playing well. And the Lions, their champion is a coach that will eat you alive and then ask how your morning's going. So, like, I'm a big Lions believer right now, I'll admit.
The Lions were just too close yesterday for having a really boneheaded game. I mean, the Goff play in the end zone could have very easily been called a safety. I agree that it wasn't.
Yep.
When he threw it in the end zone. And the Van Ginkle drop of the pick, that might have been a six. And Man Campbell's unwillingness to kick a field goal and make it a three-possession game. When they were at like the 7-yard, or wherever they were really close. He could have kicked a field goal, made it a three-possession game, and no, I'm going for it. If those things don't work out and the Lions lose that game, they're getting ripped. Goff and Campbell are getting absolutely just maligned by the media today.
I'm reminded of a saying that I think a lot of people in the 98Q audience will know. I love it a lot because you can achieve success in a lot of ways on a football field in life. And a saying that prevails in my mind is, if it's stupid and it works, it isn't stupid.
There you go.
So that's how I regard that game last night, the Lions-Vikings game, is if it was almost a close win and it wasn't, then it doesn't matter that it was almost a close win. You know, like, yes, I completely agree. And yet at the same time, that was what, 31-9 was the final score?
I just think those injuries on the defensive side for Detroit is going to get them here. I think it's going to get them eventually. They played a style of defense last night that was basically a WWE style of defense. I mean, they were roughing up the Viking receivers, and even one of the D-backs and a Viking receiver said at the end of the game, he said, they were holding us all over the place, but they're only going to call it so often.
Yep.
So we needed to fight through it. They were out there just literally grabbing and holding and doing everything they can. That's why Justin Jefferson couldn't get open. He couldn't even get into his pattern.
No.
He couldn't get into his pattern because he was being knocked off the line of scrimmage.
That's Justin Jefferson's one problem, is that his size gives him his speed and his incredible shiftiness. The change of direction on Justin Jefferson is silly, but it also makes him bullyable.
Yeah,
you can affect his route, and jamming, the act of jamming a receiver has everything to do with how the rest of that pass play goes. And if you're a little guy and you don't get the release correct and you don't avoid that jam, I mean, like, it may be the difference between, if you're a receiver, you're looking dead onto your cornerback and you're planning to take off to your right around him up the sideline. Well, if he jams you good, you might either fall over or have to go inside of him. And voila, all of a sudden the play as designed doesn't work. And when you're a light guy, I mean, yeah, Justin Jefferson, he is my pick, probably best receiver in the league right now by a fair bit, I would say. But you can't physics. You can't right. Good receiver your way out of being a little guy. Believe me, as just a little guy, I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very realistic this first weekend of the playoffs, we could have a 7-6-5-1 left. I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. It's very easy that it would not be surprise me at all if the Packers went to Philly and gave them a really good game and it came down to the end. Vikings are favored at L.A., not saying they're going to win. And Washington playing at Tampa. Washington playing at Tampa, the way Daniels is playing. I mean, you could end up with 7-6-5-1 in that second round with the Packers at the Lions and the Vikings hosting a game. It could easily happen.
I'd say this is the most interesting playoffs I've ever seen. Whatever comes of it, this playing field is something else. You've got the lazy Titan, the Chiefs over there on the other side. You've got Baltimore right there and the Chiefs who, I mean, like, it's going to be a good postseason, Joel. I'm excited.
It is going to be fun. And we'll have the Packer game for you Sunday. 3:30 will be the kick. All the AFC games early, two on Saturday, early Sunday, and then we'll get the Packers, then the late game NFC, and then the Vikings are going to put them on Monday night against the Los Angeles Rams. Vikings have only lost to two teams this year, the Lions and the Rams. And they get the Rams. They could end this. Vikings could have their season ended by only losing to two teams twice.
Everybody's got everybody's number. I mean,
right.
That's
a good way to put it.
Yesterday was the winner's the one seed, the loser's the five seed. That alone is what the heck is going on. It's if you win, you're one. If you lose, you're five.
You're 14-3, and you go on the road against, 9-8 or 10-6 team.
There is no boring explanation for how that came to be.
Fun. It's fun to follow. It's stressful. Drives me crazy. Makes me want to grab for something that's malted and been distilled for a while. But it's still good.
Very special old pale, my recommendation. VSOP.
Thank you, Gray. Appreciate it. That's the gray area.